Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands to the Lord this
morning. How great thou art. It
should be in your heart and your spirit how great our God is.
How great.
It should be an easy song for you to worship and praise and magnify the wonderful name of our Lord and God. Love you, Jesus.
How great thou art.
Thank you, Lord God.
How great thou art.
How about one more time, amen? Let's worship Jesus. Hallelujah.
How great.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thou art. How great thou art.
Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We love you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we're standing, let's pray together. Most gracious Father, we come to your throne this morning, Lord God, with thankfulness, gratitude, Lord God, and love, appreciation, Almighty God. Thanking you, Lord, for your grace, your love, mercy, kindness, your long-suffering, patience, and gentleness. And most of all, God, we ask you to grant those attributes unto us, Lord. Let us have a true love one for another, Lord God, a love for the heathen and lost humanity, Lord God. Let us take the love, Lord, that you've bestowed and granted unto us and show the same love towards others, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Lead us, direct us, and guide us. Have your way this morning, Lord God, in this service. Father, utilize this vessel, Lord, to edify your people into a closer place that we could walk in the ways that would be pleasing unto you. Lord God, as we see a generation of people that have fallen away, Lord God, a great, great falling away, Lord. Help us to stand strong and make a difference, Lord, that somebody could see stability in a brotherhood, Lord, and see that there is a refuge and a place that one could be grounded and found strong. Help us, Jesus, to strengthen the saints, Lord. Help us, Lord, to teach them what it means to contend for the faith. Father, we need your help this morning, Lord. We don't have no superior wisdom nor understanding, Lord, how to lead your people. But, Father, we do know how to yield our hearts, our minds, our lives to you. And we know how to come before your throne with an expectation of you, Lord God, to utilize men, utilize their lives, Lord God, as we decrease and you increase, as we step out of the way and you step into the forefront. Help us, direct us, and guide us in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You all be seated this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, to stand in your midst, amen. And I thank God most of all that I could be numbered with the children of God and the sons of God. It isn't by anything that I've earned. It isn't by anything of any special way that I've lived. It's by simply the mercy and the grace of our God, amen. And if you are a child of God and born of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not because you were somebody special, it's because He is special. And He predestined you before the world ever was and chose you and brought you out. Many times people totally misunderstood the doctrines of predestination. So oftentimes they look at things, well, you know, if I'm predestined, I'm either going to be or not going to be, so I'm not going to make no effort. But the Bible said, make your calling and your election sure. So there's a facet that we have to be involved in. And you know, so oftentimes we talk about the disputes that people get into between works and faith, and you know, I'm saved by grace, not by works that no man could boast, you know, and they get into these things and they've got doctrine, they've got Bible, and they're absolutely right. But what they do is they take the truth and they actually pervert it and they turn it into a lie. So oftentimes people are standing and sword fighting, we may say, fighting against one another. And they're both using the same Bible. And they both feel right. Every man's right in his own eyes. And they both feel like I'm right, you're wrong. But what they both realize is that they're both right. But what they've done is given place to a spirit of error. And given place to a spirit that causes a confusion, controversies, and many things. So oftentimes we try to take time to read the Word, to study the Word, to bring the Word and line upon line sometimes and try to break things down that we could learn to perceive or see, understand, and comprehend. And, you know, as a minister, I know that oftentimes that I'm not bringing you a new revelation. I'm trying to stir the things up that you know. Think of all the things that we've all heard over the years. You know, over all the years, and we've got to take these things. And you know, when I think of in the world of aviation, you know, Jesus, when he was speaking to people, he might use farming and talk about a seed and about the good soils and the different things. But he used something to relative that he said, okay, I know this man understands this realm. I know he knows how to farm. I know he knows how to prepare soil. I know that he knows these things, of how the fowl of the air will come rob it away. And he would use those things to bring a revelation, something eternal, something spiritual, something that had substance to the spiritual world, but he used the things which appeared that they could comprehend or see or understand. Now, we do the very same thing. Many times we speak of allegories, types and shadows, and many things, and trying to bring people into an understanding. But even in the aviation world, we use it to compare things of growing and growth, and it's because I was in that world. So I know I speak to that, but it's still something that you could understand. But even pilots, sometimes they have to go for refresher courses. Sometimes there's things that they've got to go in and pay money to go in to sit into a 2 or 3 day class to get a refresher course and get up to the standards of the times and the seasons or the things that are changing in that world. You know, the minister many times has to stir up and remind you of those things according to the scriptures of what we should do. And when we're around so many things and so many people that have relaxed, and they've taken the grace of God to lasciviousness. They've taken it, oh, you know, well, he's love. You know, God is love. He's a merciful God. But if that's all we preach, and it's just like on the other side, if all we do is preach damnation and hell and beating people over the head on a daily basis, say, well, you're pretty much guilty of that, Brother Rob. Well, pray for me. That's all I can say. You know, I try to encourage people. I try to strengthen the saints of God and show love and respect and honor them. And the thing is it would help people if they learned to differentiate. What happens is when you find reproof coming from the sacred desk and you're taking it in such a way that you are offended. See, you've missed the scriptures already because the Bible teaches us that we're not people, that we in Christ are not offended. You know, and the thing is, you know, it's the little babies that get offended. We do understand that. You know, the Bible said that you're better off to put a millstone around your neck, you know, offending one of the little ones. But see, then when you offend a devil, people want to bring that scripture to you. They can't apply that scripture to you when you've offended somebody. If anybody ever spoke offensive, I mean, I'd say it was him. You know, a woman comes to him and he says, oh, you know, I'm not giving this. This is for the children. I'm not giving it to the dogs. If that's not offensive for the Lord to call you a dog, now that would insult some of you. And you think, oh, you can't be speaking against the Lord. I'm not speaking against the Lord. But he knew who he was talking to. And let me tell you something. I offend people, and I rejoice, and I praise God for that. Because you know what? It's offensive to me to have to smell the stench of pigs and swines, especially when they come amongst the Feast of Charity. So, you know, I'm offended. We said sons of God don't get offended. I'm offended in the perspective. You know, there's things that could be offensive to smell. You know, there's an odor that shouldn't be. And the Bible said a stench in the nostrils of God. See, that would be an offense. Now, being offended in your fleshly perspective and you're just, oh, you're walking around and, oh, they this and that, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. But there's things in the spiritual realm that could offend us, and then we deal with it in love. Again, it's always line upon line, precept upon precept, because people take the scriptures and they use them in the wrong realm and the wrong thing. It's like I say, you know, you offend somebody, well, you're better off to put a millstone around your neck. No, that doesn't apply in all cases. But you take a little one that hasn't grown in the grace and knowledge of God, and you put an expectation on them, and they're a little baby, and you could offend them. See, that's where you're in trouble. You don't want to do that. You could take somebody that really loves the Lord and sincere, and because you're in a greater doctrine, you know, there's only one doctrine, but you've come to a greater measure is what I should say. And then you take and offend them because maybe they're not walking in the measure you are. See, you're wrong in that. You got to love them and help them. You know, I preach holiness doctrine. I preach that there's a proper way for a man and a woman to dress and do things. You know, and that could offend these other Christian people out there because they say, oh, I don't think that's necessary. They just don't have their eyes open. They don't know what is pleasing unto God. They don't realize why he wrote things in the New Testament. You know, and then they have their interpretations of what a woman's apparel is and the way that they should do. But you see, we don't want our interpretation. The Bible said it's not for private interpretation. Speaking of the scriptures. So the thing is we got to get a revelation and an understanding. And many times we got to take and we take so many things in, you know, that we got to consider how we're making a judgment, a righteous judgment, or how we're analyzing the Word of God. Are you got enough theology in you or neology or enough godly understanding to make decisions that might be displeasing unto God? You know, I challenge myself continually, brethren. And I've been challenged in doctrine for many, many years. And when somebody doesn't believe exactly like me, I'm not offended. I think, well, I want to hear. I want to hear what they are and what they do. When I was in the aviation world, I'd get around elders or men that had been doing it for years. Man, I was always encouraged to hear. And to hear more and to hear things and glean from them. You see, do we have a hunger and thirst for the truth? You know, and that's what we got to come to a place that we're drawn and hungry and we want more God. Or are you just looking for what your liberties are? If you're always, you know, I know we have liberties in Christ, but I mean, if you're just looking for these liberties, it says we don't take them to the occasion of the flesh. And when you start taking your liberties and applying them to fleshly life, you've missed God all the way. You've just totally missed the Lord. And this is what people do. But again, line upon line, precept upon precept. So when we start speaking about the things of God, about the Word of God, people will listen to you and they say, well, I'm in disagreement. But they're because they're listening in the wrong realm. So you've got to rend your veil between your flesh man, your flesh mind, your fleshly desires, and your God mind, and the mind of Christ, and the heavenly desires. Thinking on the things which are from above, the Bible says. The things that are rich, pure, clean, honest, and godly. So you've got these two minds working in you. And then you start trying to decipher the things of God through that carnal mind. And what you're doing when you're doing that is you're taking and building a religious person with a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. But what we want to do is we want to gird our loins up like men of God, of valor, of strength. We don't make excuses for fleshly living, fleshly lasciviousness. When you start applying the grace of God for your flesh, for your liberties in the flesh, for your frolics in the flesh, for your vacations in the flesh, for all those things, and for you to strip yourself off and to do the things like the worldly people do, then you've just taken it to the occasion of the flesh and you will die and go to hell, thus saith the Lord. Why you think you've got liberties to do those things in Christ? I love people. And this is why I've got to preach the gospel, because we're in a day, dark, dark day of deception. And the ministers of Satan have taken over every pulpit in the world, in the churches. You say every? Well, I've got a lot closer to say every than I am to say most of them. Now, I know that there's a small flock and there's some that have separated themselves from the world order and this worldly religious institution. They've all perverted. All of them, brethren. I don't know of a denominational group that's still together, not one. That is right with God. They've appeased the world and the things of the world. I don't know one religious order, brethren. Thus saith the Lord. I don't know of one. I know of some that are very close, but they've opened up to doctrines of devils and they've appeased the enemy and they've compromised. There's been some great mighty works, brethren, that started from great, great men of God. But what's happening, they start busting into pieces and you got your first flavor, second flavor, third flavor. You know, you got your ones on fire and you got your ones that are in the wilderness and you got this and you got that and they just all busted up. What I'm saying is it going to make me better than them by showing or exposing their errors? No, I'm just saying be careful. Be careful what you partake of. Be careful what you eat. Be careful what you're ingesting into the spiritual realm. Because there's things, brethren, that says, well, the Bible says we could eat any deadly thing and it won't harm us. Well, brethren, I understand that. But the faith that's going to keep those things from harming you is going to also show you how to eat and what to eat and where to eat. Brother Pike used to use an expression. He said, look, you know, if I want a biscuit, I'd like to get it, you know, basically off the pan when it comes out the oven. He said, I don't like digging through the garbage can to get one. And there's people out there in the garbage can and they're reading books and they're getting this and they're infiltrating their mind with demons and spirits. You know, and the problem is they don't understand the access or the door to the spirit world. You say, can you access a spiritual world through a book? What do you think the Bible's about? It's a book. It's a collection of books. That's what Bible means, a collection of books. And it's making access into a spiritual realm. And some don't get there. Some of them just read it in the intellectual perspective. And they take and put it into their carnal concepts of thinking. And they record this and record that. And they say, hey, I'm part of this. That doesn't make you part of it. You got to eat it. It's going to be bitter to your belly. You understand that? It might be sweet like honey in your mouth, but it's going to be bitter to your belly when you eat that Bible. Everything man does is on its belly. All the flesh on its belly is going to be bitter. It isn't going to like it. If you read your Bible and you find fleshly exuberance and fleshly praise and fleshly this and that, you have absolutely read your Bible in error. Most people read the Bible in error. And I know it sounds so offensive, brother, and I understand that. It's like, boy, Brother Rob, you're just against everybody and everything, and you got to be the only one right. God, I hope not. You know, I'm struggling myself, brethren. I ask you continually, pray for me, that I could walk in the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit and lead somebody out of the corruption, lead somebody out of darkness, and help win a soul into the kingdom of God. Brethren, but it's a fight, it's a struggle, a continual warfare. You understand? It's a travail. You know, and well, guy, you know, Brother Rob, you just make things sound so tough and so hard. Man, I just live in this world. It's just so great and peaceful and joyful, and I'm just having a great time. Well, enjoy it while you are, because you're in heaven and you're on your way to hell, being cast out with Satan and all of his followers. Amen. And you say, well, I just don't see it that way. Well, Jesus was a man that said, acquainted with grief and sorrow. He didn't find the pleasures and the joy that he had within him in this world. He came out of it. He made himself suffer from it. Everything Jesus done was a travail and a fight. You understand that? And we're supposed to be followers, and we're supposed to be likewise. We're supposed to be about his business. You understand that? Well, you know, I think we can have joy in Christianity. I do. Well, I think we can have a good time in Christianity. I do that too. But I don't have to have fleshly exuberances. When you got to take for your church or for your religious activities and mix the world in with it for you could have joy in your church, you ain't never found God. If you got to go to the swim parks, the water parks, and the beaches and those things to have joy in your church, you ain't never found God. You're seeking the wrong thing. Let me tell you, you find a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. You find something flowing from your innermost being that just wants to praise and worship. And when you got to have somebody stir you up to praise God, you got you a problem. There should be something in your heart that says, I love you, Jesus, hallelujah. I praise you, I worship you, you're my Lord, my God, hallelujah. And then you walk out with joy while they're smiting you and crucifying you and speaking all matter of evil. And you think, hallelujah, I'm numbered with the kingdom of God. Amen. We're not looking for worldly joy, worldly pleasures, worldly fame. We're not looking for popularity. We're not looking for the approval of the world. They'll never approve this. They hated him. They're going to hate you. Amen. Let's open our Bibles over to Revelation 12th chapter. I want to go to the 7th verse here. And we're going to talk about some things here. Hopefully the Lord will help us to talk about angels. Amen. Revelation 12:7, it says, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels, plural, angels, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So the red dragon, he's got angels. I want to think about this for we can start trying to understand. There's people that are fighting in a warfare that they can't see. They are fighting in a warfare realm they don't hear. And many times because, now let's step out of the spiritual dimension for a moment and let's just talk about a natural world for a second. As Jesus used parables. You know, the Bible said we're good soldiers for Christ. Keeping ourselves untainted, unspotted from the affairs of this world. Now the thing is if he's comparing us to soldiers, let's talk about soldier. Okay? Now if you were going to fight or be drafted into the military of this land, and you were blind, I'd say that you've lost a pretty good part of your battle. I don't think you'd be too good of a soldier on the battlefield being blind. Does anybody agree with that? Now, for the people that are maybe handicapped or are blind or things, I know that you could take people like that and they could write spiritual songs that are rich. They could minister the Word of God and save souls. I'm not making them out to be something least, you know, because of a physical infirmity. But let me tell you, many of the blind people are found real true sight because they're not tainted by this worldly vision and worldly sight. But what I'm saying, I'm just using a comparison, somebody blind in the military, they would be very handicapped to be on the battlefield. Now, they might be behind the scenes studying strategies and stuff and maybe helping the generals, the colonels, the admirals, or whatever. But again, there's a handicap there. But yet, we find ourselves in another war, another battle, and another fight that is a real one. You see, the man is seeing his fellow soldiers shed blood in Afghanistan or wherever these battles and skirmishes are going at. They think, well, this is real here. And this guy over here behind that sacred desk, he said he's crucified all the day long. You know, and he said, boy, he's suffering for Christ, you know, and he knows what it means to be crucified and be nailed to the cross every day, and he's dying. And he said, that ain't real. He said, this is real right here. Man, I seen my friend die, take his last breath. This is reality here. See, they're blind. Brethren, that's not reality. That's vanity. You see, a man could die on a battlefield in the natural and step right in the presence of God. You understand that? But in this other spiritual war, you could die there and be eternally cut off, second death from God. We fight against principalities and powers. Some of these things are invisible. There's some visible and there's some invisible. If you only fight in your spiritual warfare against the things that are visible, you've missed a good part of the battle. Because there's invisible principalities and powers. Now let's talk about these angels. There's a scripture, I believe it's in Romans, but it says, beware when you entertain strangers, because you may be entertaining angels unaware. And so oftentimes, again, when we get into angels, people in the religious realms, when they're talking about angels, oh yeah, grandma was in a car wreck, and man, there was an angel. She saw this thing. She said, man, it had this brilliant, bright clothing, and it come and dragged her out of the car while the car was on fire, and this and that. You know, hey, I'm not going to dispute that, man. I say, praise God, hallelujah. But if that is your understanding and your revelation and your depths of angels, you'll die and go to hell too. Now, why do you have to make things so harsh, Brother Rob? I don't mean to sound harsh, but I'm talking about your religious Santa Claus ideology. We've made this religious world into the same thing. Little children got some fat dude coming down the chimney to bring you presents riding around on reindeers. Now that is ignorant to anybody with any wisdom and smarts. It's a fantasy and a fairy tale. And this is what you've done with your religion. You've made everything a fantasy and a fairy tale. Now I believe in angels. You understand that? I do believe in a theophany where a spirit could take on a body in such a way of such and appear just as they did in the scriptures. I do believe that, brethren. But those things are rare occasions. Great men of God have had visions where these spirits have come before them, the Spirit of the Lord and different ones come before them and they manifest. They could see them and speak to them. And I've had some of these experiences. But those are far and few into what's taking place every single day in our lives. We're dealing with angels on a moment-to-moment basis, brothers. Every moment of the day we're dealing with angels. And we need to understand these angels. I say so oftentimes that there's many that are sick and afflicted among us because they don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. I could go to say this. They don't know how to discern the angel of the Lord. What is the angel of the Lord? Where's he living at? Where's he dwelling at? Who's he supping with? Who's he fellowshipping with? Who's he talking to? Where's he at? I want to see him. Beware when you entertain strangers because you'll be entertaining angels unaware. You see, Brother Andy could come into your presence and he could walk into a job. Brother Ed, same way. Brother Pete, Brother Dale. Some people have troubles possibly seeing the angel of the Lord, and it's because they see the other fallen angel taking and utilizing your members of your flesh. So they have troubles discerning that, and you make it complicated because of your lasciviousness. But let's talk about a man that's really making an effort. Does anybody agree with me? Jesus made an effort when he walked this world. But see, some didn't know him. Peter got the revelation of who he was, right? He saw something in the spiritual realm. He saw the angel of the Lord, didn't he? He saw God. He didn't see this man that was born in Nazareth. He didn't see this man that was trained up under his stepfather to be a carpenter's son or a helper in a woodworking craftsman shop. He saw the Lord. He saw God. Didn't he? This is my Lord and my God. He saw something. So now, brethren, when we're talking about angels, and I say that, you know, Andy can go into a job, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God could move on him in such a way, and he has a word from the Lord. He has a message. He just became the messenger angel from God. And he could go to this man in this home and say, "Sir, with all due respect and love." And he could give him a word from God. And this guy could look at him and say, "You know what? It's some dumb tile layer. Man, I'm a doctor. I went to school for 18 years. And I got an education. And you think that some tile man's going to come in here and give me some kind of word from heaven?" And he could absolutely reject him. And it is no different, thus saith the Lord. I say that very seldom, but I say that to make a point. It is no difference if the Lord Jesus Christ himself manifested in a fleshly tabernacle. Amen. Or the same one that walked among men walked in and rejected him. Said, "Get out of my house." No different. Now listen to me. I want you to make sure you can get a hold of this. It is no difference. You understand that? I smite Brother Andy. I smite my brethren here. It is no different than the one that held Jesus down on the cross with a nail and put it in his hand and drove it. 100% absolutely factual. No difference at all. Now, you might be struggling because I put a personality here with that. But I'm telling you what, when a man is born of God and he's a son of God, and he's born again, it is no difference what you do. The Bible said, "Beloved, now ye are the sons of God." It is no different what you do to a child of God than what you do to the Lord Jesus. And I got plenty of Bible for that. What you do, the least of these. Well, I know that I'm the least in the kingdom. I know that you are all greater than me, got greater revelations, greater understandings and those things. So I know I'm the least. So now we could start with that right there. What you do unto Brother Rob is what you done unto the Lord, and you will stand accountable in judgment for that. And what I do unto you, being the least, I'm being the least, and what I do unto you, I stand judgment before the living God for that. We need to come to that revelation. And you know, we want to talk about the mysteries and revelations. We want to talk about all these things. But that's the first revelation we better come to. That we are part of a many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's sicknesses and afflictions and many things that come upon people because they don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. You're speaking against the body of Christ. That's a terrible thing. Now again, as I say, you put a man on a battlefield in Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere like that, and he said, "You know what? You know, this preacher's living in a vanity world himself. Boy, he talks about being crucified. He doesn't know what real warfare is. He talks about man being in this fight. This is the real fight here." No. That's nothing but a vanity and a reflection. It's nothing but something showing forth that there's another real world. You see, this is why, again, I say this. I'm repetitive, I know. And while you find fault with me being repetitive, I'm still trying to win souls and get eyes opened up into the kingdom of God. Because we have sometimes many among us that would be thinking that they have eyes to see, but Jesus would say, "No, you don't have eyes. You do not see. You don't see good when good comes." Brother Pike went to a message meeting out on the coast of California. And he was referring to some things in the Word and Scriptures, some other things have come forth, but he said they'll come and walk among you and they'll never see it. They say, "Oh, but they had to recognize him and see that." Let me tell you something. They were still following after a man of God they called their prophet that had been gone for many, many years. And there was some present day revelations and things that were going forth, but they were holding on to this other previous and they missed what was going on in their midst in that moment. It could be the same way today. It could be you. It could be me. We may have a revelation of something for this moment, for this day, for you as an individual. I know we look at everything collective and we got to be moving the whole world. But what is it if we're trying to move the whole world and we lose our soul? What does the Bible say about that? What is it if we're trying to win the whole world and our family's lost, going to hell? What is it if we're doing these things and we got people right under our shadow or under our noses that are perishing and dying? Then what have we done? Are we a written epistle, read and known of all men? We got to get real, brethren. We got to get into this word and quit intellectually reasoning of what we believe is right. There's none good, not even one. My purpose here isn't to make me right and everybody else wrong. My purpose is to bring the word of God alive and let this word be true and every man be a liar. I'm not here defending a denomination. I'm not here defending anything except the word of God. And what happens is because we allow these other doctrines of men to infiltrate and to come in, And these doctrines of men that have infiltrated. Now, there's a place in the scriptures that we cannot turn away from these doctrines of men. But these were God men. Now, the thing is there's God men that have walked among and started and established works. But the works have taken and turned away from them. Look at the problems Jesus had with his 12. Not just the one Judas. What if I said, what's just with the 11? Couldn't you just pray with me 1 hour? I'm sorry, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I need help, Lord God. Amen. Let's go back to verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. What part of the world did he deceive? And he was cast out into where? And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, where are you going to be protected from this accuser if he's been cast into the earth? That's in heaven. Let's talk about a couple things. Let me back up just a little bit and read. Let's just go to verse 1 and read down just a little bit. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Where was this wonder at? Come on, I'm establishing some thought now. It was in heaven. Okay, which heaven is that wonder in, brethren? Is it in the first heaven, the second heaven, or the third heaven? Now, I can help you with this, and we need to understand this. We got people set under revelational doctrine for many years that don't understand what I'm saying. And you say, well, are you making me better than them? No, I'm just talking about the word. We have to understand. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was the place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, with a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now let's talk about some of this for a moment, if the Lord will allow us to. Number one, if we got 3 heavens, I got a Bible for that, then we're going to have to start differentiating which heaven is taking place here. We also got to start differentiating about this child being caught up to the throne, and where the throne's at, and which heaven is that throne in. Okay? There's things that we get these ideas, and we will perceive some of this in part, but we get enough revelation of it to put us in hell. Now, there I go again. There's people that think they've got revelation, but they got enough revelation to put them in hell, not to bring them all the way into the eternal kingdom of our God, because of the powers of darkness and deception. The thing is that there's no marriage nor given to marriage in heaven. There's no male nor female. So now we got a violation with the scriptures. Let's throw the Bible away. I'm just talking to you. You know I'm not going to do something foolish. But if there's no male nor female in heaven, then why is there a woman there in travail to bring forth a child? So then where is this heaven that they're talking about that there is no male nor female or given in marriage is there? It's a third heaven. So now we see this travail, and we see this in the second heaven, but he was cast out into the earth, and which heaven would that be part of? And then, as I say so oftentimes, as a foundation for thought, we have God that was, God that is, and God that is to come. So the God that's here today is the God that is. Would you agree with that? And the God that was might have been the one that was walking among men in a perspective. And this one to come, is he different than the one that is? It's all one and the same God. But you see, the one, when we say the one to come, because he's already come to you and I, so that we're not looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, I know this is going to trouble some of you. We're not looking for the coming of the Lord in the perspective, because the one to come isn't coming to the church. He's already come to the church.
Amen.
He is coming to the Jew. That's his elect, the natural Jew. And he's going to set up an earthly throne and an earthly promise for them. So we got to differentiate between the God that's coming. He's coming with vengeance. He's coming with a rod of iron. We just read it here. He's not going to be spit upon no more. He ain't going to have his beard plucked. He isn't going to be beaten and things. He's coming with all power and authority. Now, he's already come to us with all authority and power. Now, we're differentiating here, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, what we do is we get in the book of Revelations. We want to put it into a chronological perspective. And we say, well, this hasn't happened yet. I'm telling you, everything that we read about has already taken place, thus saith the Lord. And everything that we just read about is going to take place in the future, thus saith the Lord, and is taking place. So are we going to talk about the God that is and these things taking place now? We're going to talk about they've already taken place as some kind of a past tense thing. If I talk about Jesus being there and Herod being there to devour the firstborn when they were born and a place prepared, and Joseph took Mary off to Egypt, a place prepared where it took him over there for a season and a time, and until Herod passed away, and then they brought him back forth to Nazareth. You know, I could say, there it is, it's all taking place. Okay, but if I stop at that, I've missed the revelation of the Lord. I've missed the fullness of the understanding of God. If I stop at that. Or if I take this over here and talking about Jesus being caught up to the throne and he's there with the Father for a time and a season, and then he's going to come back to this earth and he's going to be made manifest to the people of this whole world that will see him. Every television broadcast is going to see him, and he's going to set up his kingdom and things there out of Jerusalem, the throne of David. And you say, there it is, man. That's what we're looking for and hoping for. You've missed the revelation of the Lord. You see, we got to bring these things into an application to understand. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual, first and second and third heaven. I say these things a lot, but you need to get these things together and get them differentiated out for you know where to apply things. Because sometimes we get so puffed up in what we think we know, we don't know what we ought to know, and we miss God and the revelation of God and what he's doing right now. I'm telling you what, the God that is very important. The God that is to come is very important. The God that was is very important. But I'm telling you what, the one that is. Do you want to be guilty when Jesus walked among the earth and they rejected him? I mean, come on now. That was the most religious sect of people in all of humanity's time. It was the most choice. I mean, these men, we struggle and murmur and complain because the air conditioning ain't right or the heat ain't right or whatever. But I mean, these men were conditioned and trained the Sanhedrin. I mean, these were devout men, but they rejected the God that was, the God that is with them at that time. They rejected him. See, they thought he was coming in another way. You see, he didn't come in the way that we're reading, you know, with this iron fist and this power and things like that. He let them smite him, didn't he? So was the God that was different than the God that is to come? Because if he's coming, you say, but he's the same to every generation. And I say, yes, he is. He was the same to them, but they didn't see him. And he submitted to those things. And they'll stand accountable for that. So we're differentiating, trying to understand the scriptures here and the word of God. Again, I've spoke to you about the abomination of desolation. Most of the churches, they have teachings on it. Most denominations, they send them out in their Sunday schools, their pamphlets, and they're waiting for this Antichrist. Most people don't speak as the Antichrist of being present now. They speak, oh, he's going to come on the earth. He's going to show up over here in the Middle East. You know, show up in one of these countries over there like Syria or something. He's going to come on the scene to save the whole world. And that's where their teaching and their doctrine goes. Well, are you in disagreement with that? Not at all. They're 100% accurate, but they've missed the Lord today. And that's why they walk in the wilderness. That's why they deny the power of God. That's why they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's why they have the love of the world and the love of the flesh. They haven't learned to hate their own parents. Well, Brother Rob, the Bible doesn't teach that. Well, you ain't read your Bible. That first off proves that. If you can't do that, you can't even love him. You see, these are things that people don't understand. Well, Brother Rob, you surely don't teach people to hate. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You got to understand that. You see, we get things all messed up. You have so much honor for your natural family that you'll deny God. When Jesus, they brought his mother and they brought his brother in before him, he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Wouldn't that be kind of offensive to your mother that comes in, said, hey, she wants to see you. And he's busy dealing with people, says, who is my mother? These right here are my mother and my brother. You see, he made those points very clear and very much for a reason. When a man wanted to go bury his own father, he said, hey, let the dead bury the dead. Now, I know if that would offend you. Come on, where's your mercy, God? You're supposed to be the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're going to say, you know, let the dead bury the dead. This is my dad that died. You know, I love my father. I'm going to honor my father and I'm going to go do that. Well, he would go to hell too. Why did Jesus speak like that? He was trying to bring a revelation to people that we have to differentiate. You understand that? And until you learn to hate your own family, you'll never know the love of God. Because you're protecting their demonic ways, their demonic lives, and their fleshly lives, and you condone it, you support it, and you help it, and you'll perish with them. Two can't walk together, lest they be in agreement. And when you hate your own family so much that you love the Lord, then he'll add your family in. But you're going to have their blood on your hands because you keep on making the allowances, condoning the things that they do. And then you want to put it under the blood of Jesus. And you want to say, oh, it's all under the blood. Oh, God's mercy. You're just fooling yourself. I know this is hard to eat. I got to eat it too. I love people. Well, Brother Rob, you got a family. I see you fellowship your family and love them. Some I do, some I don't. I'm a soul winner. I put my family out and then I can't win them. There's a time that you put them out that you can win them. There's a time you can fellowship them. There's a time you can't if you're led by the Spirit of God. The Bible talks about God being that way. There's a time to cast out and there's a time to bring in. What's funny, I've cast people out of this church and brought one in just like them or worse. You think, well, that don't make sense. Why'd you cast this one out and bring that one in? Because it was this time for this one for repentance, this other one's judgment. Judgment begins in the house of God. So which way is it going to be? Well, you're a respecter of person. I'm no respecter of person. I respect the Word of God and the person of God. So we've got to find the mind of revelation, the mind of the Lord. And he says, well, let's talk about some of these things for a moment. I say the abomination and desolation that you're looking over in the Middle East and you're waiting for this Antichrist to come on scene to save the whole world. But what about today? What is the abomination and desolation today? Huh? What is it? When you take your mind, your carnal mind with your religious study, and you've been in your books and you've been in your concordance and you've read the commentaries and you've studied out this one and you've studied out that one and you take it and use it against the living word of God because of some carnal-minded theologian said thus, thus, and thus, and you're going to take and compromise the word of God. That's an abomination to God. You see, when he appeared in the abomination of desolation, when this Antichrist appeared in the temple, making himself to be God. That was the abomination of desolation. Now, we do know that during this tribulation time, what the world's looking to, even the church world, in this 7 years, in the middle of that time and time and a half, we'll find the middle of this week. And there's going to be an abomination of desolation where he goes into the temple there that'll be reestablished there in Jerusalem and make himself to be God. And yes, there's going to be all kinds of war break forth on that. Okay, praise God for that revelation, that understanding. But the thing is what if that's happening today? This very day, and you're being cast out of heaven this very day. Which one do you want to look to? Do you want to look to that one in your intellectual concept of understanding? Or do you want to look to the one that's taking place today? Do you realize that the abomination of desolation could take place in your mind right now sitting in this service and you could be cast out of heaven? And you could be cut off from God and experience what would be part of the second death? Being cut off from God. The Bible said there's some among you that are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. But let's just skip over that. We'll just let that part go. We don't want to know about that part. I don't want to talk about that part. I wish there was safety in ignorance. You know, the Jews were blinded in part, turned over to a stupor for the judgment, for they could be spared some in the judgment. That's the mercy of God. But is he blinding you in part? Is he blinding you? Or does he want you to have eyes to see? So we bring the abomination of desolation. Here you are being a man. And this is supposed to be the temple of God. I better agree with that. This is supposed to be the temple of God right here. Okay? We got Bible for that. So if this is the temple of God, and then I set forth in this temple in my carnal mind, the carnal mind's enmity with God, the carnal mind is death, And I set forth in this thing, and I think that I've got a better revelation, a better understanding, and I'm going to set myself up as ruling this temple right here. And I'm going to do what I want, when I want to do it, where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it. Let me tell you this, brethren, when you find yourself being a child of God, and to enter into the kingdom of God, says you got to become as a child. Children don't have the option to make decisions when they're under the headship of their mother and father. Well, Dad, I'm going to go stay all night with Freddie tonight. See you later. See you tomorrow. I might not come home tomorrow. I'm going to come the next day. Any dad in his right mind say, no, son, you're not making that decision. Yes, we got to train our children to make proper decisions and allow them to exercise that, but they're not going to come rule over you. God wants you and I to make decisions as a son of God, but he wants us to make the decisions that are in his word, in his will. He's not making us into, we have no mind. He wants us to come into the mind of Christ and our decisions are his. You understand that? People say, well, Brother Rob, what are you going to do about that? I think, well, I wished I had a choice. People think that I make harsh decisions and choices. I don't make those choices. If I was going to be like you as a man, and we were just going to be men, hey, make all kinds of decisions. You know, but see, as a son of God, he makes the decisions. We got to become as a child. But let's go on with the abomination thought for a moment. So here I am as a man with my great brilliance of study of the scriptures and got it all warped up, twisted up, balled up, fuddled up, however you want to express it. And I make a decision. What this temple is going to do, where it's going to be and how it's going to go, that's an abomination in the eyes of God. You being mere man, making yourself to be God. You being a mere man. Now, I know this is what they was going to take up stones and stone Jesus with, but he was God. So what part of me is God? Am I a God in the first heaven, the second heaven, or the third heaven? Where am I a God at? Where does this God live? Where does he dwell at? Where is this spirit man living at? Where is heaven at? Well, you're in heaven now. Oh, is this what it is? Well, let me tell you this. The Bible said that the heavens and earth are going to pass away. So where's your eternal hope in that? If you're wanting to go to heaven and said heaven and earth are going to pass away, now what are you going to do? You ain't got no place to go. Now, is the Bible a lie? No, the Bible's absolute truth. Has anybody read that the heaven and earth pass away? Yes, well, man, that just blew out heaven. Let's just live it up, man, here in this world and go back out and let's go over to the theme park and the nude park and the strip-off park and the water park and the clubs and let's go fishing. You know, there ain't no heaven. Heaven's passing away. So let's just get with it back in the world. See, we got to go line upon line. What heaven passes away? What heaven remains forever? Which one is it? You see, is the bride eternal, the bride of Christ? Does she pass away? If we go to the allegories, we find Rachel brings forth Benjamin and dies. Is there a point that the bride dies? If there's no woman in heaven, and no male or female, then if there's no woman in heaven, then there kind of have to be done away with the woman. Oh, you can't be talking against the body of Christ. Man, I'm the bride of Christ. He's coming back for. Well, you better hope he's already come. I'm the bride of Christ, and he's already come for me. Amen. Done had relation with me. Done brought me into the secret chambers. And I brought forth the heir to the throne, amen, the sons of God. Hallelujah. You understand that? You see the reason that we have to be able to differentiate? You know, and then people want to come, well, I know Jesus, he died for me and shed his blood for me. Praise God, hallelujah. That's all I esteem to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, and they're taking a great man of God said that, and he said it for a reason. See, he had already esteemed to great understanding amongst the Jews by walking with them, even wanting to go out and put them to death. And things, but then he's coming with, hey, I just come with another knowledge of Jesus and him crucified. See, line upon line. But we take those things. Oh, the Bible says, you know, I have no need of man. You know, and man, I've got this relationship with God. I'll get it from God. I got no need of a pastor. I got no need of man. I got this great revelation. You're going to die with that and go to hell. There it is again. Boy, Brother Rob, you're putting everybody in hell, ain't you? Just the carnal mind. Can you come to a place that you don't need a fellowship or a brother? Is there a place attainable in this world? Did Jesus come to such a place? Man, he was seeking after his brethren on a continuous basis. Come on, brethren, let's go pray together. Come on, brethren, let's go do this together. He showed examples by sending them out. When he sent the 70, he sent them out by two. We find unity. If we can't love our fellow brethren, we don't love God. We know we pass from death unto life because we love our brethren. Didn't say because we love God, because we love our brethren. Why do we have to love our brethren to have unity in the Spirit? Because that's where the Spirit of God dwells at. And if you can't love your brother that you do see, you cannot love a God that you cannot see. That's Bible. But we always want to water things down, and we've got all these religious concepts of thinking and this and that. So back to the abomination of desolation, and when you as a man taking your carnal thoughts and making them greater than God, because you decided to follow your thoughts instead of His, there's your abomination. There's your casting out. Right there. Now, do you want to serve God that is, or do you want to keep talking about the one that's coming? Now, the Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. This is why the religious world is sick. This is why the religious world is seeking after all the worldly things. This is why we turn in all the, you know, I'm on this social media slop hole called Facebook, and I try to win a soul or reach somebody on there occasionally, but it's the most perverted, filthy bunch of slop that's ever been created by the devil. There's more perversion and filth on there. Occasionally, you might get that biscuit. Wipe it off, please. You might find a biscuit out there. I don't know. But there's so much false doctrine out there. People eating this and eating that. Well, bless God, I know it's the truth. I read it on Google. Yeah, you'll find out that's the truth. Well, what makes you superior to all that, Brother Rob? What makes you that, you know, you've got the say-so in the matter? I got the Holy Ghost. I can't make those decisions. The Bible said that these things have to be spiritually discerned. And if we can't pray and get the spirit of discernment to spiritually discern these things, you say, well, I got the spirit of discernment. Well, it's obvious that you don't by what you eat, what you fellowship. If you think that by giving a glass of water to a prophet, you're going to be partakers with the prophet in his reward. Now, that's Bible. You like that. Boy, praise God. But what about when you're partakers with a demon or a devil or an antichrist? Are you going to be partakers of their reward also? Or is God the respecter of person? You know you will be. So if two can't walk together, let's say be in agreement. So that puts you in agreement with what you walk with. Come out of them. Be a separate people. Some of you maybe never had to experience separation. Maybe some of you have never experienced being crucified in the house of your friends. Maybe some of you just talk about Jesus going through those things. But brethren, if you're a son of God, you'll go through those things. He said they hated him first, so I hate you too. It goes on to say that you have done nothing to deserve it. I have people that hate me, and I've done nothing but good for them. Nothing but good, but they hate me. And they're just continually looking for a reason to find fault and make me wrong. Well, go ahead. Make me wrong. It doesn't make you right. Why do we think when we make somebody else wrong, it makes us right? Well, you're a terrible pilot. You got to be the worst pilot I've ever met. Man, you ain't fit to be called a pilot. You got no business flying airplanes, this and that. Well, you'll go get in and kill yourself. It don't make you a better pilot just because you hate another one, does it? That's the way people are. They think if they can find error in you or wrong, that they just make everything an error. Well, I ain't going to believe what he says about this because he was wrong about that. Well, I was wrong when I told you when we went to the smorgasbord that the salad didn't have salmonella in it. I'm sorry that you're puking your guts out. I was wrong about that, but the rest of the food was pretty good. We have some funny ways of reasoning things out. Let's fall in love with the Lord. Let's get real with God. Let's figure out some of these differentiations of God's word that we could apply it. Don't be trying to defend yourself. Don't be trying to defend the things and the ways of religion and the ways of man. Just stay in one thing, defense of the word. And quit reasoning out the word of God. You see, just because somebody lives like a dog and a devil and they teach you that you cannot sin, don't discount the word of God. The Bible said you that are born of God cannot. It didn't say that you might, you could, you will. It said you cannot sin. I got to believe the word of God. Amen. Yeah, I know, but I've had these people tell me that they live like dogs and devils. That's because they're sinners. That's the way sinners live. Well, but they told me they can't sin. Well, they're deceived. They believe in a lie and they're damned. Well, Brother Rob, can you sin? And I was born into sin, shaping in iniquity, appointed to go to corruption, appointed to go to back to the dust, go back to nothing. All sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But are we going to stop with that? Sin is death. Have you all read your Bible? The sting of sin is death. So if you're a sinner, you're going to be appointed with death. It's appointed all men wants to die. Okay? So we're not going to remove that from the Word of God. You all sinned. You all got to die. So when are you going to do that? Well, I was crucified with Christ. Life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Y'all believe that, right? Okay, so if we believe that, then we die. That's the only death that we'll die. We're now more than conquerors. We pass from death unto life. Well, what happens then, Brother Rob, if the people are saying all these things that you're saying, but then yet I still see them submitting their members to the flesh? Well, then they'll become one with the flesh and die with it and perish. So whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. You know, we could talk about having the revelational knowledge, but we got to bring the revelational knowledge to a manifestation. You see, the revelational knowledge has got to be revealed in the flesh, or you're Antichrist. You understand that? You got to bring it into the flesh and bring your flesh upright. And why you find fault because I preach against worldly dress and because I preach against this and preach against that, and you've got all the liberties to do what you want, that's okay. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But I know that I got to bring the inward workings of holiness and godliness and virtue and righteousness into a manifestation in my flesh and bring my flesh upright. If I can't do that, then I have not the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ isn't a knowledge, it's a manifestation of God in the earth now. That's the revelation, the revealing of God. You can make it into some kind of a quote, a memorization, a head knowledge, and that's okay, and you'll die with that. But you need to bring it into a manifestation. I read a thing the other day, and my wife said, "You haven't heard that before?" But I just liked it. It was real plainly put, and maybe I could remember how to quote it. It said, "I can't hear anything you say because I can see what you do." I think that's what it says. If that ain't it, that makes sense. Come on, Andy, I want you to go flying with me, man. I'm a good pilot. Man, I'll tell you what, I've been flying for all these years and everything. Come on and go with me. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm hearing you, Brother Rob, but I seen that last airplane you crashed last week, and 2 months before that you killed 3 people, and 4 days before that you landed. I think I'm going to stay home. I'm hearing what you say, how good you is as a pilot, but all I see is crash up and burn all around you. How come we don't apply things like that in the spiritual realm? Huh? We talk about, we got this little track back there talking about judgment. You know, boy, why a Christian should judge. Well, I think we need to make judgments. We need to judge who we walk with, who we fellowship, and what we're eating. Let me ask you this. You go to the smorgasbord, and your boy, you're loading that plate down, all of a sudden you say, what's that? You're judging something. That smells pretty good. Give me some more of that one. But then all of a sudden you say, boy, that smells a little tainted. You just made a judgment, didn't you? I ain't eating that. Huh? When I find slop mixed in with something good, then I'm going to stay away from it. Old preacher friend of mine, you say, you got to be like an old horse. You got to learn to eat the hay and spit out the straw. Well, while he's spitting out the straw, I'm just going to reject and find the good stuff that ain't tainted. Is there such a thing as that? But you know, the thing is we want to just go out and eat and eat and eat and eat. I'm not talking naturally. I know we all look like we've been eating and eating and eating. I'm talking spiritually. We become spiritual gluttons. Oh, we're eating over here and eating over there, and we're going to tell you the revelation this one had and the revelation that one has, and boy, this one over here and this one over here, and you're all fuddled up. Brother Pike said you're like a little kitten playing with a ball of yarn. The more you play with it, the more you get it all messed up. He said you get the cow eating grass on the top of the tree. By using your concordances and by using your Hebrew and your Greek things and such, say, well, don't you believe in that? Sure, I do. I use them. Well, then why are you saying that, Brother Rob? Because you're using it to protect and to defend an ideology of humanism and man and religious order of this day of the God of this world. It's different. We're called in defense of the word. When you're defending a denomination, you're an heir. There ain't one denomination in this world worth defending, brothers and sisters. Not one. There ain't one. And if you found one that's close or one that's good, doesn't mean that everybody in it's going to make it in. Only the children of God, the ones that are born of God, will be the ones that make it. And let me tell you something. There's denominations out there that got error in them, but there's people in those things that love God and are sincere, and they'll make it in. But what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to start girding up their loins like real true men of God. And they're going to have to make decisions. I've observed this over the many years of working with people, churches, and different things. And there's people that have family churches. And boy, they could talk about the pastor when they was a child. Man, this was a man of God. He loved the Lord. He was about the Father's business. And he was a good man. He taught he loved the people. Well, he went off the scene. They put his reprobate, perverted son in. Or maybe that didn't happen. Maybe they just... the organization put one in. I was involved with a denominational church over in the areas of Oklahoma. And they had the sovereignty, they called it. They had the power and the ability. They could vote in their own pastors and put them out. And they were bringing in these men, but it didn't satisfy Sister Heavy Hips Loose Lip. And then it didn't satisfy Deacon Repo Head and Bait Mind. So they vote them out. I know I'm speaking ignorant, but that's the way I think about it. I just want you to know the way I think about these people voting preachers in and out. Just for you to understand where I'm coming from. I was speaking nice when I called them loose lips. But this organization, this denomination, watched this. And even though the church had a sovereignty, they see that they exercise their sovereignty in an ungodly way. So they set in what they call district supervision now. They took the church's ability to vote away from them. And the district oversight put them in a pastor. And they were being punished. Because they put in a circus clown for a pastor in this church. I'll say as little as possible about that. But because they were over-exercising their abilities to vote men in, they took that privilege away from them, and then they put them a clown in there. And the people had to submit and stay under that. And the man that they put in was a good friend of the head superintendent for the district. So when the reports came, the complaints came, this was his friend. All ungodly, all unbiblical. But then yet, I'd become to love the people in this denomination or in this church. I was young in the Lord. I become to love these people. They become my friends and family to me. But then yet, they was under this minister that was robbing, stealing, and lying, and doing all these things. But this is my church. My granddad and grandmother went to this church, and they helped build this church. I'm not leaving this church. And they'll sit there and eat perverted food and die and perish because they're savoring the things that would be of the flesh. You brethren here, this is your equity. This is your place. This is your buildings. This is your thing. But if something happened to me and went out of my mind, or something happened and someone coming, and I mean, and a false doctrine, perverted doctrine starts going, you know what? This stuff's all temporal anyway. It's all going to perish. I'd run as fast as you could. Find a place that you can get fed the word of God. You know, this place should be precious in your sight. You should love this place and want to take care of it. And you show that by coming out here working and laboring around the grounds and mowing and weeding and cleaning and burning and doing the things that you do on a weekly basis. You know, if it's painting, fixing, repairing, adding to. This shows your love for the things of God, and you should have that. I'm not teaching you to be disrespectful of this, but what I'm saying, there's something that goes greater than that, and that is following the word of God and the truth. Do you realize that with Elijah, when the raven quit bringing meat to the brook there, was a reason? Because it was time for him to move on. You understand that? He could say, man, I like this brook. Boy, I tell you what, the water's pure and good. Man, I got this beast, you know, this stingy, wretched, foul bird that's bringing me food every day. And you know what was going on in the land? There was a famine in the land, but there was a time. I go to Israel, and I go over to a place that the Catholic Church has perverted, which the Bible said that Jerusalem becomes spiritual Sodom. You know what he thinks about Sodom? I know they got a different idea today in the churches, but you know what God thinks about some. But this is what happened to God's chosen place. A lot of bloodshed over the protection and over the land over there. But it has become, you take Bethlehem, oh, but this is where Jesus was born. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's become a perverted place. When I went into the old city of Jerusalem, I don't think there was any place that I'd ever been in the world that you could feel the stronghold of demonic depression as much as when I was in the streets of the old city. Isn't that sad? Oh, but Brother Robbie was in Jerusalem. Man, you're in the old city walls, and man, you're in places where Jesus walked. And he departed too. You see what I'm saying here? The Church of Nativity there in Bethlehem is a slop hole Catholic church. It's perverted. It's filthy. Oh, but Jesus, you know, this is where he was supposedly born at. You know, this and that. Well, see, we look at the departing of that. We could bring it down into our day and hour and talk about a place called Little Bethlehem. One of the most powerful, godly, anointed places I've ever been in my life. Peace was there. Charity was there. Everything was there. But there's a time that God moves on, departs. Now they got drunks, dope addicts, whores, living on the campground. I'm talking about homes that were dedicated by prayer and by fasting, and people that were godly living in these things that kept themselves unspotted, untainted from the world. Yeah, we had spots and blemishes in the feast chair, but it was a godly place. That's gone. Oh, but I want to go there, man, just because of the historic values and this and that. Hey, it's a great place in my heart with great honor. But when you depart from the faith and depart from sound doctrine and open up for doctrines of devils and demons and uncleanness and family favoritisms and stuff, it ain't worth having. God departs and we got to go on. I know these things sound harsh. Think, well, you don't have to talk about it. I'm talking about this way of this whole world, brethren. I brought it down to home for some of us who could understand. I think of the years of guys like Andy and Chuck and Pete. They gave their life at that place. They toiled day in and day out. These guys got testimonies of being up all night long and laboring all day and then all through the night to get a job done. Praise God. I've got good memories too. But it doesn't change the fact that the place has been corrupted and defiled. I'm just talking reality. That could be offensive. You could get mad. You can get offended. Oh, you're going to blaspheme against God. You're going to do it. I'm just telling you what I'm observing. And there's people that are holding on to Israel and Jerusalem and these kind of things, but it's become spiritual Sodom. He said, Israel, you've committed adultery under every green tree. So the blessings of God has departed from there. You understand that? Oh, I think God's still in there, still His elect and still His chosen people. And you're going to find when He returns to them that He's going to set up order there. See, you've got this idea of what you think the millennium is. Oh, I know the lion's going to lay down by the lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm with you. But let me tell you something. There's going to be discipline during that time. Do you realize that? You see, at the end for Gog and Magog, this Satan is going to be released after being bound for that 1,000 years in chains. He's going to be loose for a season to see who he can go back and gather back together, his. And there's going to be discipline going on during that time. Not everybody that's going to be going through this millennium is the elect of God. They're going to be the natural elect, but they're not the spiritual elect. Do you understand that? Because there's going to be a time that this Gog and Magog, you know, they're going to live all through that 1,000 years. And there's going to be released for a season and going to gather his back together. You understand that? They'll all be gathered together and cast. See, there's a gathering going on right now. This is what you don't realize. See, this is why I teach dimensions, first, second, third. And it's the same thing happening right now today. It is no different right now today than when Jesus was walking the earth. You understand that? Same exact thing. But God's appearing in another form. And you've rejected him. And you've put him out. And you've denied him. And you'll perish with Judas. Say, that sounds harsh, brother. Hey, we're just talking reality, brothers. You see, we got to understand God and where he is, what he's doing today. We have to have a revelation of that. We got to know God. So, because you don't differentiate the God that is, the God that was, the God that is to come, or the first, second, third heaven, or the body, soul, spirit, or the Father, Word, Holy Ghost, or the translation, the transformation, or transfiguration, because you don't differentiate those, could I lose my soul because of that? No, let me tell you something. Again, let's go back to scriptures. Know, have the knowledge of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And fall in love with Jesus. But let me tell you what He says. When you have His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you have something that's going to lead you to all truth. And the only way to come to all truth, brethren, is to come to a mindset of God, to come into the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, if I let this mind come into me that brings me to be equal with God, you think, man, that's blasphemy. I'm just telling you what the scripture said. You'll never be equal with God. What if I told you I'm doing greater things than what Jesus done when he was here? Now you'll really draw up. Well, Brother Rob, you can't say, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It said that we'll do greater things. Well, I ain't seen you do no greater things. It's because you don't have eyes to see what I do. You're looking at natural things. Why? Because you're a Pentecostal. I'm a son of God. Amen. Oh, but man, I know the great prophet God, Brother Branham, come with us. I'm not mocking that. He was a great man of God, a great prophet of God. I have no contest whatsoever. But while you're over there reading about him and looking about him, the same spirit that lived in him is moving among you today. And he's walking with you, setting people free, setting the captives free, trying to do his little part. Oh, but they've done such a great thing. What makes you think of all of the healings that Brother Branham done that those people made it into the kingdom of God? I mean, when Jesus healed 10 lepers, only one of them came back to worship him and the other 9 went to hell. Amen. So then you're going to tell me because this man opened up blinded eyes and made deaf ears to hear and done all these different things? That all those people were children of God. What's greater than that? It's to get their spiritual eyes opened up that they could walk in the Spirit of the living God. But God allowed the natural miracles to draw them in. Amen? Oh my. God's Word's good. I wish there wasn't opposition when I preached the Word. You know, it would make it so much easier to really go into some revelational things and to talk about some things where you could really grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But when there's struggling, it makes it very difficult, and the only one that will be hurt is you. And I say that with all respect and love, with mercy. Amen. We need to really draw. We need to press. We need to realize what's happening today. What is God doing right now? Let's get out of the past. You know, you hear me say it oftentimes, you know, the religious realms, they're talking, they're always excited about, boy, God's coming, He's coming back someday, man, and praise God, aren't you waiting for this returning of the Lord? Well, let me tell you, I could speak like that, honestly, because I do know that when that takes place, that this body's changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. I'm not no longer dealing with the pains, the aches, the weaknesses, and the things of this fleshly tabernacle. So I could be talking like that, amen? But the thing is, I will never see that metamorphosis, transfiguration, or the bodily change unless I bring it into up right now and change this body right now. What I'm saying, I could let this man walk after the flesh. I could strip him off, get my muscle shirts on, get some tattoos, pin my nose, everything else. But that's what the world's doing. Well, I don't think they're of the world because they do that. They are of the world or they wouldn't do that. Son of God ain't going to do that. Well, you're judging. Amen. That's what I'm called to do. Well, we make allowances for little babies. I guarantee you there's some out there for some of you tattooed up folks. I know God loves you. But when you want to get that thing shining, you see them, they get in their car, boy, and they put their little muscle shirt on, got that old tattoo hanging out. They go pierce their tongue, and they're talking to you going, Want everybody to see that thing? Well, that's that old serpent's tongue. It wants to go in and out. That's why they do that, because they're the devil. Had some reprobate defending that kind of stuff. I'm a Christian, this and that, and you're just a hypocrite, and you're just religious. That hypocrite himself will die and go to hell with his pierced tongue and his tattoos and all of his filth. You going to put everybody in hell that's got a tattoo? God, hope not. I'm talking about the mind. Is that the mind of Christ that tells you to go mark up your body? Is it the mind of Christ that tells you to go do those things? No, it isn't. It's a manifestation of a perversion of a mind. That's why people got tattoos, is because they got a perverted mind. It's not the mind of God. Would you have any, Brother Rob? Let me tell you, I had the ignorant kind of mind that would have done it. When I was in the world and of the world, I had the ignorant kind of mind to do that kind of foolishness. I didn't do it. Does it make me better than you because I don't have none? Not at all. Let me tell you, there's going to be some people ain't got no marks on their body in hell burning. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not putting a man in hell because of a tattoo. I'm not putting a man in hell because of drugs. I'm not putting a woman in hell because of her stripped off bikinis. I'm putting them in hell because they don't have the Holy Ghost. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you get away from those things because you come out of the world and you're peculiar and you're a separate people. You understand? You don't look like the world. You don't talk like the world. You don't act like the world. When you look and talk and act like the world, it's because you're of the world. And just because your religion is taken and brought in all the world and brought in the rock and rollers and brought in all the perverts and all that, that doesn't make them right because they call it church. The Catholic Church is guilty of more souls in hell than any other institution in mankind. They're carnal. They're worldly. Oh, but Brother Rob, they don't believe in abortion. Well, praise God for that. You know, you found some good in it. There's good in UNICEF and United Way and all that too. You understand that? But that don't make them godly, does it? You got to have the Spirit of God. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. My Bible says, without His Spirit, you're none of His. Well, I talk in tongues, good. You could speak in that language when the mother's in hell with you. Your tongue talking don't mean nothing to me. And I speak in tongues, and I wouldn't smock the Spirit of God or speaking in tongues. But I'm just thinking that you've made your tongues greater than the Holy Ghost. There's a greater gift to desire than tongues, and the Bible speaks about it. Prophecy is a greater gift. So is prophecy better than the Holy Ghost? So you can't take your tongue talking and make that the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost people may speak in tongues, but that doesn't mean your tongue talking people have the Holy Ghost. You need to seek after the gifts of God and desire them. Start out with spiritual discernment. The Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. You need the discernment of the Spirit, but you're not a candidate for that until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. What must I do to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, you got to get your life all straightened out and live a perfect life for you to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's impossible. You'll never get perfect without the Holy Ghost. So what is it? Just to be obedient to God and fall in love with Him. Be sincere. Quit reasoning with Him. Quit reasoning against His Word. Quit reasoning with His angel.
Amen.
You understand that? You think you've got it worked out that you've got this relationship with God and you've got this special place with Him, but you could reason against me? You've missed the angel of the Lord altogether. You understand that? Well, I could always come back to you. I'm bringing it to you. If I reason against Brother Andy or Brother Randy or Brother Ed here, you understand that? We're going to reason together. We're going to be in the mind of Christ. But when I esteem myself better than Him because of maybe His failures, I've missed God. I've never seen God, don't know God. You know, that's very important to learn how to esteem Him greater. That's a revelation. You'll never be able to do it in your intellect concept of thinking. When people have troubles loving people, they don't have the spirit of love.
Amen.
You got to know how to love people. And you can't be loving people when you're continually killing them. Well, Brother Rob, I've heard you preach this morning. You've been doing nothing but smiting. I heard you talking about preachers and talking about this. I was talking about the Antichrist. Well, but Andy's got the Antichrist. He does. When I use him or Brother Randy, they do. Maybe you do. Maybe you give place to that spirit. If Andy gives place to the Antichrist devil, just as Peter did, and I say, Andy, you're savoring the things of the flesh. Get you behind me, Satan. Does that mean that I can't esteem him better than myself? Does that mean I quit loving him at that point? Do you think Jesus quit loving Peter at that point? Do you think it justifies me to smite him and crucify him and kill him because of his yielding to fleshly thought for a moment? No, I still got to love him. Oh, because he's your son-in-law? No, has nothing to do with that. We got to learn what love is. God loved me so much, brethren. He loved me when I was in error. He loved me when I was failing. He picked me up and embraced me when I had smut all over me. He hugged me and held me when I had alcohol on my breath. He loved me and held me and helped me. You see, do you have that kind of love? Or do you look at people in those conditions and make yourself better than them? See, you'll never win a soul that way. We got to be soul winners. Oh, I love them all, Brother Rob. I go out and hang out with them, fellowship with them, and go to the clubs with them and this and that. I just love everybody. That's because you're one with them. Jesus fellowshiped in a way that when he went out and he was not fellowshiping, he was ministering. He went in there to pluck them out and bring them with him. Amen. And it's like the man told me, he said, well, brother, the Lord called me to go into the bars. Nobody else is doing it. And he said, somebody's got to go in there and get them out of there. And I said, if God called you and gave you enough strength to go in the bars to get people out of there, he gave you enough strength not to drink with them and not to dance with them while you're there. And he got mad and cussed me out. So if God called him to go into bars, he would have given him enough strength not to cuss me out. Amen. Well, you deserved it, Brother Rob. You insulted him. The devil needs to be insulted. You understand that? He needed to be. A man going to stand in me and look me in the face and tell me that God called him to go into the bars? When my Bible says that he said to come out of the unclean thing and be a separate people, he ain't called you to go no bars. Now you might find yourself walking in there to yank up a little baby that got overtaken in a fault because you're spiritual and you might go in there and yank, but you ain't going to sit in there with them, hang out with them and fellowship with them. The only reason people want to do those kind of things is because they got that love. It's like the man here we helped with all the tracks going out. You know why he went to all the Grateful Dead concerts? Because he was dead. You know why he always wanted to be around those people? Because he had that kind of spirit about him, but he just had a religious air about it. And he's going to get you to support him and get you to pay for him. Hey, we trust the Lord that he got some doctrine out there and got some literature out there. But the man's lost. He was lost when he was here and he's still lost. Oh, he might have got born again. I don't know. I don't want to hang out with the Grateful Dead, do you? Is there any such thing as Grateful Dead? I don't think there is any Grateful Dead, is there? Let's stand together, amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. Consider these things. Ponder on these things. Question yourself. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Contend for the faith, as the Word of God says. What does contend for the faith mean? Struggle. It's a struggle. Oh, it's all easy, Brother Rob. You just got to learn to just love Jesus. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't understand y'all in this travail and this fight and this warfare. Man, I just love Jesus and everything's okay. Yeah, you're going to think it's okay. You better learn to fight. Jesus was acquainted with grief and sorrow. And if you got him living in you, you're going to be acquainted with the same thing. They're going to not like you. Well, everybody likes me, Brother Rob. I know it's easy to love a devil. Well, just because everybody likes me don't make me a devil, you might say. I'd question that. Yeah. My brethren, I'll tell you, the world entreats its own. They see eye to eye, too. They walk in the same mind. Amen. Let's challenge ourselves. Let's contend, like I said a minute ago, struggle. Let's struggle for that faith. I want the faith of God. I don't want some religious concept of some kind of what I think. I don't like what I think. You know, see, I think as a man, but I got to learn to think as a God. Think on the things from above, the things that are pure, rich, godly, holy, virtuous, righteous. Think on those things. When your mind is continually looking for your liberties, you're in trouble. Take not the liberties to the occasion of the flesh. Hallelujah. I like to feel the nudge in my heart, my spirit, tugging me and pulling me into a closer place with Him. Amen. God loves you. You're His chosen. You're the apple of His eye. You're the one that He came and bled and died for. He set you apart. He put your name in the book of life. He caught you away into heavenly places. He sealed you in that nothing could touch you, nothing could be laid to your charge. He put your name in the book of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. That makes you want to praise Him and worship Him. It's all Him. It's not you. It's not me. It's all what He's done. And He done everything that, and gave us everything that pertaineth unto life. Hallelujah. Have you been filled with His Spirit? Are you walking in the power of His holiness? Are you struggling with His commandments? The Bible says that, you know, when you do that, you got a problem. Because ye that love the Lord do not fight against His commandments. So when you're fighting against His Word and you're always watering it down and got to go to your commentaries to justify fleshly lust and fleshly reasoning, then you need to just simply get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let Him lead you, guide you, direct you. Let Him teach you. Are you glad you come to church this morning? Amen. Did you get what you need?
Amen.
Come on, brethren. We have needs. I mean, if I can't get what I need when I come to the house of God, I'm going to go somewhere and get it.
Right.
Amen. And I need to hear from heaven. I need a touch from the Heavenly Father. I need the strength, the virtue, and anointing of God. He loves you. He's with you. He's in you. He's through you. Amen. Trust Him. Let Him lead you. Don't reject that still small voice. Don't reject it. When He's drawing you, don't reject it. When He's talking to you, don't turn the ear. Amen. Because one time you might do it too many times, and you might find the grace of God turning away. I think of the man that we've been helping in prison, and he said, you know, the grace of God's with you. But he said, as slow as God is to turn the wrath on you, you're going to think He's just as slow to turn it around. This man's truly repented, truly repented, truly has godly sorrow for what he's done to the violations to this world. But you see, sometimes the judgment comes and it's just as slow to turn around and back to the grace. You say, I don't know about that. I do know about that. And I could talk about him and I could talk about others. And sometimes we lightly esteem and mock God. The Bible said God's not mocked. You say, Brother Rob, you talk like everybody's just wretched and no good. Well, you're coming to some revelation. Bible said none good, not even one. And when Brother Paul, we could account majority of the New Testament coming through him, inscribed by God, but through him. And then yet when he stands before the people and says, oh, wretched man that I am, I don't have a problem speaking to man as a wretched. Because you're all wretched, every
That's
single
right.
one of you. With all of your religious activities, you're still wretched.
Right.
You see, it's not your religious activities that make you righteous. It's being filled with the Spirit of God. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and makes you righteous, then you yield forth the fruit of righteousness. You understand? Because the nature of righteousness is in you and you're part of that tree and a branch. And you will produce godliness, holiness, and virtue. It'll come forth. Well, that's all inward stuff. You better hope it comes outward, because that's the part that defiles the man. The part that comes out. And when there's spewing and hate and ungodliness and bitterness and spewing coming out of you, it's like the sea foaming out its shame, then there's something wrong. That's not supposed to be in us. You say, well, Brother Rob, you said that, you know, we're all, men's hearts are fashioned alike, and, you know, it's an action. Yeah, but we killed that because we have all authority. We've been given the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is all power and authority. You see, when you keep walking as a man and thinking you have the liberty to do that, and you say, oh, nobody's perfect, all men, you know, thus, and all. No, you've missed the scriptures. He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. Power to what? To overcome.
Amen.
That's why we're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We put our foot on top of drunkenness, on top of bitterness, on top of hate, on top of jealousy and envy and strife. On gossip and backbiting and tail-bearing, we put our foot on those things because we're more than conquerors. We take authority. And if we keep yielding to those things, saying, oh, we're just, that's the way it is. We're nobody's perfect. We're all men. Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven. Amen. He has given you the spirit of perfection. Amen. And we press into the perfection of God. You say, are you saying you're perfect? I'm saying He's perfect. Amen. And He made me perfect, yeah, by His works at Calvary. But then yet He sent me in the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. Well, which part is that? To bring what He's done into manifestation, revelation, revealing it to the other world. I don't live a life of holiness and righteousness and dress a certain way for my salvation. That doesn't earn salvation. There are women that dress right. They're whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. They're lost on their way to hell. Dressing right doesn't make you right. But when you're right, you dress right. But when you dress right, don't make you right. You understand that? Well, you put too much into dress, somebody needs to start doing that. Look at this world we lived in, a bunch of stripped off animals. Got in a little discussion, a lady put a post on my page, and I put it on my page, but I read it. And she was talking about, she was saying, Christian women do not put bikinis on and go to the beach. If they understood, had one little teeny iota of God, brother, one teeny iota of God's spirit of holiness, do you realize that what nudity represents and shows? You read in the Bible, every place you find nudity, man, they're cast out. Every single place. Nudity always has to do with the exposure of flesh and darkness. There's always, you find that the wedding garment is fully to the ground, and that He always clothes them. And when you find something unveiled and unclothed, brethren, it's not proper. There's only a one place for that, and that is in the marriage bed. That's the only place. And it's for the husband and the wife. But when a woman's taken off doing that, it's an exposure. And it's showing the Antichrist spirit that they're giving place to, and it will destroy them. You understand that? And this lady put this little writing. It was very good. She was saying, you know, Christian ladies, you don't do that stuff. You can't do that. Oh, it's okay with your pastor. It's like a guy come to me, and his pastor liked his wife or his fiance because she was doing that praise dance. And boy, they danced. I said, the only reason he likes it because he's full of lust. Oh, you're speaking against a pastor like that? Sure I am. A pastor ain't going to want some guy to bring his little fiance to church for she could sway around in her praise dance. There ain't no such thing of that. Oh, but the Bible said that David danced, you know, before the people, this and that. Well, let me tell you, you get full of the Holy Ghost, you might dance too. But I'm not talking about some woman coming in with her little ballerina suit dancing around in front of the people. That's lust. It's lust every time. And it's the spirit of lust. And the pastor likes it because he's full of lust. Mm-hmm. And because he savors the things that would be of the flesh. And that's why they do those things. We don't need that kind of stuff. We don't need to have some kind of a gimmick and some kind of thing. That's inspiration to flesh. It makes your flesh feel good. Oh, but it's so pure, Brother Rob. It's just so, man, your just mind ain't right. You know, it's so beautiful. If you could just see it for yourself, I done seen it. And it's the same thing every time. I'm telling you, it's lust. It's motivated by lust, and it's perversion. And it just leads people away. And that's why they're allowing it, because Satan is taken, climbed up into the upper lintels, and they're doing these things. Brothers, praise unto God is not that way. Praise is an intimate relationship with your Lord and God, and you're praising, you're worshiping Him, and you find His Spirit meets you in that. When you feel something rise up in your flesh, say, well, God could do that. I say, yea and amen. But when you find fleshly inspirations moving and things like that, that's not God. It's the God of this world. True spiritual worship with God isn't enticing fleshly things. It's enticing spiritual things and strengthening spiritual things. He said He inhabits the praises of Him. And He'll come and inhabit when you're praising Him, but not flesh. Don't praise the flesh. I'm sorry, I know that we've taken a lot of time this morning. And I appreciate you and I love you. Pray for me as I pray for you. We're going to get Brother Pete to dismiss us this morning in prayer. Pray for me, brothers. Pray for me. I need prayer. I need strength. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need light. I need all these things. Well, is this a confession? Yes. I hope you can have the same confession. How many want more of God?
Amen.
How many want to go to a deeper place with Him?
Amen.
How many wants a deeper walk? How many wants to be perfected by
yes.
Him? How many want to walk in righteousness?
Praise
the Lord. Well, aren't we already doing those things? But I want more. Since we're closing, I could say this, but you know, I might have had some sushi 2 weeks ago or a month ago, but you know, I might want some today. You know, you say, oh, I've done this, but you know what? I want it today. You know, what are you talking about? I want more of God today.
Amen.
Oh, yesterday, boy, you was walking in the Spirit, done something for God. Well, what about today? Did I die today? Did I mortify today? Did I kill out today? Oh, you done it yesterday. Boy, you had your thoughts in order. You were established yesterday. You had prayer life, and you just had a great day. But today, does that mean you can live like the devil? Got to do it every day.
Amen.
Kill him out. It's a continual walk, a continual fight, contending for the faith, struggling for the faith.
Amen.
Continually. Brother Rob, you need to just relax a little bit. Hey, I relax and the enemy moves in. Huh? Come on. I know it don't do that with you. You can get all the R&R you want and hang out at the wherever you want. It ain't that way. Sons of God are in a war and a fight and a battle for the soul. Amen? Well, I've got peace. I do too. I got rest. I got peace. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death with peace. I'm not talking about not having peace. I'm talking about being in a fight and a war. Good soldier. I mean, when they were building the walls back, Levis and Nehemiah, they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. How many of you are building the wall back? How many of you are keeping it mortified and up? See, we do that in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the innermost. Pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, and build up that innermost faith. Why do you have to build up the innermost faith for you to contend in the faith? It's a fight, brethren. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm walking in this defeat and I'm just, oh, poor me, this and that. But there's a weak man that lives in me that wants to take preeminence. And I got to continually war against him, fight with him, tell him to shut up and stay out of the way. Now, if you're not doing that, that means he's in your way. It's just part of being a son of God, a child of God. Continual warfare, continual fight, a continual pressing, a continual struggle, a continual suffering, a continual out of being hated. A continuality of being smitten. That's just the word. Amen. Am I sorry about that? No, it's just the way it is being a child of God. I'm not defeated from it. I'm not giving in to it. I'm not laying down. I'm not letting the enemy devour me where I get discouraged and say, man, I'm not doing this no more. Nobody loves me. I don't do that. I say, praise God, let's go on.
Amen.
If they speak all matter of evil against you, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. It shows that you got the Spirit of God. See, if we were all just going to be men, hey, we could do kind things one for another and pervert each other's judgment through our gifts and things like that and just go on and be happy and be merry.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.